Thank you for being here this morning. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And to begin with, I'd like to look at the last few verses of chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the calling and the commission to be a witness for you. And Lord, we are humbled to know that, Lord, that calling is not just for a few, but Lord, it is for every blood-bought child of God. And Father, we thank you that we can be encouraged by your word this morning. Lord, help us to open our eyes to the strength that we must find in you. Lord, help us to know that you are our safety and that you are, Lord, our God, who leads and guides us, and we need to depend on you more so, we pray. Heavenly Father, that you would reveal yourself to us through your word this morning and help us, Lord, and equip us to be greater witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at another need for the soul winner, as we have time to time outside of the book of Acts looked at various subjects regarding being an effective witness. Here we see one truth definitely in the Great Commission, is that God has called all of us to go. We have been all called to be a witness for the Lord. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power is given unto Christ in heaven and in earth. And the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are no longer a prisoner of sin, but you are now a free soul in Christ to be a servant of God and tell as many as you can about our wonderful Savior. Here in Matthew chapter 28, we find the Great Commission and see we are called to go. But we understand also that the call to go is dependent on the call to trust. You see, the Great Commission is not only a call to action, but it is a call to dependence. Because, see, the Lord tells us two truths in these verses. Not only must we be a witness, but we must continue to depend on Him. We must continue, as our two truths this year show us, to find our righteousness and our spiritual strength in Jesus Christ. And then we will be able to go and fulfill the Great Commission. So here we see in Matthew 28, the Lord said, All power is given unto me. Where does our authority and strength come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found within us. It is not found in our own human abilities. We see that here in the Great Commission. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 20. The Lord Jesus said, This is what I want you to do, but don't forget this at the end of the verse. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Lord is telling us the importance of remembering that He is with us. We are not to serve Him alone without Him. We are to know that Christ is with us. We are to rest in His power. As you remember, the Lord Jesus said, as we memorize the verses in the book of John, Without me, ye can do nothing. So it's so important for us to continually come back to some truths that we see before us. Not only is it important to be encouraged in the book of Acts to go soul winning, to be bold in our witness, but likewise we are to be encouraged in spiritual realities, spiritual help. And to this morning we are going to look at the necessity of prayer in soul winning, the importance of prayer in soul winning. You know, it's important to go out, but we need to be careful not to leave off some spiritual needs. And one of the needs that so often we leave off is the need to pray. Remember, the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. So if we go out in our zeal and enthusiasm and forget to pray, we are in big trouble as God's people. You know, as we look in the book of Acts, we see the cycle repeated throughout, that God's people gather together. Remember in the book of Acts, in the upper room to pray. And that's where they waited. That's where they prayed. And after they prayed, they experienced God's power. And after they experienced God's power, they were able to witness to people who came to the Lord. But then after they saw great blessings, then came what? Persecution. So what do we see God's people go back to? They go back to the upper room. They go back to prayer. In fact, they met in different places for prayer in the book of Acts. And we see that God's people knew the importance of prayer. Not just going out in the flesh or in their own wisdom and strength, but prayer. Prayer is a necessity for soul winning. Why? Because it is the work of God. And without the Lord, we can do nothing. So this morning, I'd like us to look at the need for prayer in soul winning. Now, this morning's message will be focused on this main point, that we need to pray if we're going to be God's witnesses, because we need God's protection from the enemy. We need God's protection from the enemy. See, far too often we forget that soul winning is spiritual warfare. We have not just been called to play games. We are not an RSL club. We are not a sports community group. We are not a theatre production, and that's not why we meet here. We are a Bible-believing church, given the Great Commission, and we have an enemy. And we have an enemy that we need to understand to remind us of the importance of prayer in soul winning. The Bible tells us that our enemy is none other than the devil himself. And his chief goal has always been to keep mankind from God, to separate man from God. And his goal this morning and today is to stop people from coming to Christ for salvation. Now, the Bible tells us about our enemy to remind us of the importance of the need to pray. Notice in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at a few verses this morning. So please turn there with me. Ephesians chapter number 6. What does the Bible teach us about our enemy? What does God want us to know? And as we look at these verses, I trust that you will be challenged to pray more in this calling to be a witness. Ephesians chapter 6, notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Back in verse 11, as you can see, the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of whom? The devil." So if you don't believe me, there it is. We have an adversary, which is the devil himself. He is a deceiver. He is the enemy of God. Verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All right. Now we learn something about our adversary this morning. What does God want us to know? Well, first of all, he is a spiritual enemy. He is a spiritual enemy. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can you see that this morning? God is telling us this is not an enemy that you can face physically. You cannot defeat the devil in your own strength. You cannot fight this foe with your own abilities. That's why we need spiritual weaponry. That's why we need the Lord. And in fact, verse 12 tells us this because God assumes correctly that so often we think our enemies are physical. Isn't that true? So often we think we can see them. So often we think that we can deal with them the way we deal with our other problems. But God is telling us, no, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, spiritual wickedness, spiritual darkness in this world that exists in high places. In high places. You see, we have a spiritual enemy. And God knows, so often we think on the physical level rather than the spiritual. So often we forget that though we don't see the devil standing right in front of us, he is active and he is at work. And what we need is spiritual defenses. Amen. All right. Well, he's a spiritual enemy. Notice what the Bible says, that he is a powerful enemy. The Bible says that in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Goes on to speak about rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, Satan is extremely powerful. He's extremely powerful. He loves to destroy. He works in men to wield his will in this day. He works and builds up spiritual wicked establishments in the world system to have his own way. Now, don't forget, not only is he a spiritual enemy, but he's a powerful enemy. The devil is far too powerful for you and I to take on ourselves. Absolutely. He is far too powerful for us to toy with. The devil is behind the false religions and the cults of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. You might have wondered before this question, why is it that false religions and cults have so much influence, have so much money, have so much power in our day? Well, here's the answer. Can you see it this morning, young people? It's because there is a devil, and he is powerful, and he is able to deceive. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, does it not, that the Spirit of God says expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to whom? Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. You see, the devil is able to seduce, to deceive, to lure in and establish organizations that are extremely powerful. But they are empowered by another spirit. Not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of Satan. The spirit of this world. The God of this world. Why does God tell us he is the God of this world system? Because he wants us to know that he is extremely powerful. The devil is extremely powerful. He, the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:4, tells us that he blinds the minds of them which believe not. And he is able to work miracles. He is able to assign miracle working power to false teachers, false apostles, as we've been looking at last Sunday and before. You see, he's extremely powerful. The devil is not to be underestimated. The devil is not to be ignored. If we are going to engage in frontline warfare, we need to be a people of prayer. For the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He is a powerful enemy. He is a spiritual enemy. Notice thirdly, he is an experienced enemy. An experienced enemy. Now we could turn to the book of Genesis, but we don't need to. When was the devil's first attack against man? When was it? Right at the beginning. What does that tell us about the devil's experience in the thousands of years that have passed in being able to deceive? Now, he knows what makes us tick. He knows. He's been around longer than you and I ever have. In fact, he is much more experienced in deceiving souls, leading them away from God, causing temptation to fall before them, to cause them to fall. He is more experienced in his work of deception in the world that you and I will ever be in being a soul winner for the Lord. He is an experienced enemy. He knows what makes us tick. He understands the sinful nature. He knows the Word of God. The devil knows. That's why when he spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he already knew what God had told her. So therefore, he knew how to twist the Word of God to deceive her. He is an experienced enemy. Can you see briefly, as we've begun this morning, the devil is no fool. He is no fool. And if you and I are seeking to be obedient to the Lord in fulfilling His great commission, we need to be careful to be a people of prayer. Because He is an experienced enemy. Notice lastly, as we've begun looking at our adversary, notice 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Notice who the devil targets. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, an interesting statement by the Apostle Paul. Verse 18. Now here's the question, who does Satan target? Who does he pay most attention to? Who does he focus on the most? Do you see, so often we think that he is busy deceiving the lost. Well, brethren, that's not true, because they are already deceived. They're already deceived. They are already children of the devil. They are already headed to an eternal lake of fire. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul said this, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," but what's the next word? Satan hindered us. Can you see, Paul was saying, we wanted to come to you, we wanted to continue to do God's will, but we were hindered. Who was it that hindered them? It was the devil. You see, Satan does not necessarily attack the lost, he attacks the Christian. Though we cannot lose our salvation, he knows that we can be knocked out of the race, Hebrews chapter 12, and we can fall and be useless in telling others about Jesus Christ. So you see, he targets the soul winner. And that's why we need to be reminded this morning of the importance of prayer. He's a spiritual enemy, a powerful enemy. He is an experienced enemy, and he is a specific enemy of the soul winner. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need God's protection. Would you agree that's true this morning?
Yep.
Amen. But you see, here's the thing. Our lack of prayer also reminds us of something. Our lack of prayer tells us that we don't really think he is that dangerous. See, when you and I don't pray, what are we saying to God?
She'll be right.
That's it. That old Aussie saying, she'll be right. Everything will be fine. And then before you know it, we are deceived, shocked, downcast, Amen. Discouraged, and defeated. You see, the devil is our enemy. He is a great adversary. And thank the Lord we can overcome the wiles of the devil if we simply put on the armor of God. If we allow God to remind us this morning of the importance of our spiritual need. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? Notice Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. The book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Now stay with me this morning. Looked at the warning of our adversary. Notice what God says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. As the Lord took his disciples with him, and then he was with Peter, James and John, and he commanded them to pray as he went afar and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Notice verse 41. The Lord said this to them, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, you know what happened after this. When the guards came and Judas kissed the Lord, betraying him, and then took the Lord Jesus Christ captive, do you remember what took place after that? It was perhaps the most difficult confrontation the disciples had faced. Yes, they had faced the Pharisees and the religious Jews, but this time the Lord was going to give himself up into their hands. And they were going to face the enemies of Satan himself. And the Lord was there and he told them, you need to pray. You need to pray so that you do not fall into temptation. And the Bible tells us, because they slept and because they didn't pray, Peter responded in the flesh, pulled out his sword, tried to chop off the servants of the high priest's head, only got his ear, and the Lord rebuked him. You see, Peter wasn't ready for the spiritual battle that lay ahead of him. Why? Because he didn't pray. You see, prayer protects us from temptation. Prayer prepares us for the trials ahead. If you and I are not praying and depending on the Lord, we are unprepared for the spiritual battles that lay before us. Now, I hope we've established already this morning that there is no question whether we will face battles or not. Would you agree? No, they will be there. If you are a child of God, even if you don't witness as you should, you will face spiritual battles. But especially if you witness, those battles will increase. We need to be careful to be a people of prayer. You see, prayer strengthens us from falling into temptation. It may be entering into the workplace on a Monday morning at odds. Entering into the world, stepping out your front door as a witness for the Lord. If we are not a people of prayer, we go out unprepared. Because the devil wants to cause us to fall. He wants to ruin our testimony, does he not? So if we are not spiritually prepared, we may be the next ones to fall. He knows where to set the snares. He knows where to set the traps. Why? Because he knows you individually and personally. Not necessarily, but because he knows our nature. He doesn't need to know you personally. He knows what you're made of. He knows what I'm made of. He knows the character of the sinful flesh. He knows what causes men to trip every time. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. He knows. He knows what makes us tick as men. He knows what makes women tick. And if he finds a Christian unprepared, then every time he will cause that one to fall. We need to be a people of prayer. Prayer protects us from temptation. God wants to ruin your testimony. He wants you to fall into sin, young people. And that's why we need to pray. As the Lord taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, what did he say? He said, you need to pray this. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, protect us from temptation. And Lord, when we are tempted, give us the strength to say no to sin. Amen. Give us the strength, the grace to please you this day. See, if we're not spiritually prepared, we are a sitting duck for the devil's attacks. Prayer protects us from temptation. Notice prayer strengthens our spiritual defenses. Back in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, as we began looking at the armor of God, notice the place of prayer in our spiritual armor. Now, the armor is spiritual because our enemy is spiritual. But as we quickly look down past the verses that describe our spiritual defenses, notice what the Bible says in verse 18. What are the first two words? Praying always. Now, this is part of the armor of God. These verses continue because in the next verse, verse 19 is a prayer request for the Apostle Paul. But verse 18, in context, tells us that we are to put on the whole armor of God, and prayer is what enables us to claim those spiritual defenses. We need to be people of prayer. We need to pray. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. If we don't pray, if we are not a people of prayer, then we cannot stand because we have not done all that God has said. The Bible speaks about, for example, the helmet of salvation. Putting on the helmet of salvation every day. You can't do that physically. You won't find it lying in your cupboard, ladies. And you won't find hanging on a hook near the door before you leave the house. The helmet of salvation. It's a spiritual armor because we have a spiritual enemy. How do you put that on?
Amen.
You pray. and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul and being my Saviour. Lord, thank you for forgiving me for all my sins. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the assurance of my salvation and give me boldness as I go out to tell others. And you thank the Lord and praise him for your salvation. You remind yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord that he has saved you.
Amen.
And you thank him and you praise him. And you say, Lord, I know I'm a child of God. Lord, I know your promises are true. And you put on the whole armor of God. How do you do that? You do that through prayer. Through prayer. The shield of faith that is able to what? What does the Bible say? Verse 16. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the devil will fire the darts. They are not under your control. They will come at you in the workplace. Adults. Young people, they will come out at you at school. When that friend of yours so-called says, do you want to come to the party on Saturday night? Just tell your mum you're coming for a sleepover. And why don't you come to the party? And they tell you what's going to happen, but they don't tell you the whole story. And the fiery darts are shooting at you. What are you going to do, young person?
Amen.
Well, the Bible says before you enter the battle, you need to hold up the shield of faith. You need to claim the promises of God's word. You need to put on the whole armor of God. How? Well, the shield is the shield of faith. A shield is a shield of faith. Lord, protect me from temptation. And you pray. You ask the Lord to strengthen your spiritual defenses. You see, prayer is entwined with the armor of God. Prayer applies our spiritual armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we are righteous in Jesus Christ, but the Bible tells us even as Christians, we still sin. Is that true? Yes. Absolutely. So how can we walk in righteousness each day? Well, we claim Christ's righteousness as our own. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. How do we do that? Well, we pray. We say sorry to the Lord for the sins of the day, the past day, what he's revealed to us in his word. Can you see how prayer is a necessity for the soul winner? If you and I don't spend time in prayer, we are going out unprepared. We are going out unprepared. And when you are in the midst of the devil's attacks, too often it's too late. Too often it's too late. I like the verse. I mean, I don't like it, but I remember it. When the Lord came back the third time to Peter, James and John. And what did he say? Did he say, watch and pray? No, he said, sleep on now. It's too late. The time is at hand. The enemy's near. You've missed the opportunity to pray. It's too late to pray. And as the events unfolded, we find all the disciples fled and Peter was completely unprepared for the battle that lay ahead. You see, we have an adversary. We need to pray for the Lord's protection, don't we? We need to put on the whole armor of God, and part of that is praying. Brethren, soul winning is frontline warfare. Amen. Soul winning is frontline warfare. Now, don't be distracted. They're just birds. Soul winning is frontline warfare. The devil is not happy if you have some tracks in your handbag, ladies. The devil is not happy if we're meeting this morning. Men, the devil is not happy as you witness to others. Young people, the devil is not happy that you are a Christian in a school where hardly anyone knows the Lord as Savior. God is wanting you to be that witness. But if we know our adversary, we must pray, pray that God will protect us in our daily battles for him. If our defenses are down, it means that we're not praying as we should. Lord, protect us. Lord, strengthen us in the faith. Prayer strengthens our spiritual defenses. Now, if you're here in Ephesians chapter number 6, notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Not only does it mention the devil, but notice the Bible says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that's a very important word. Not only is he the greatest deceiver, but he is doubly that. He is wily. He is so cunning, you and I cannot outthink him. You and I cannot outpower him. You and I cannot take him on. We need the Lord. That's why he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We need to pray. Amen? He's too clever for you and I. He's been at it since time began. He's a spiritual enemy that you cannot see. He works in the dark places of the world. He works behind the scenes. He is not identifiable. We need to put on the whole armour of God. Before you go door knocking, you need to pray for the Lord's protection, for the Lord's strengthening, for the Lord's cleansing. We need to be spiritually prepared as God's people. If we are unprepared, it doesn't matter how much we focus on banner number two, we're going to be discouraged and eventually defeated. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Doesn't matter how long we focus on this. This is not just the theme for this year. No, the two truths are the theme. We need to be a people of prayer. I trust that you can see that clearly this morning. Prayer is absolutely vital for the child of God. And notice back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice Paul's testimony regarding prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse number 1 says, "Finally, brethren," what's the next word? "Pray for us." Notice perhaps the greatest witness we know of in past history, the Apostle Paul, cries out to the brethren to do what for him? To pray. He says, "I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me." Why? "So that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Why did he ask them to pray? Because the gospel, the word of the Lord, was going to be hindered. By whom? Notice verse 2. "That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith." So he said, "I need you to pray so that as we go out to witness, that God may deliver us from wicked and evil men who don't know the gospel, who don't want the gospel, who are agents of the devil, to stop the gospel from going forward." Can you see the need for prayer this morning? He said, "Pray for us." Why? Because we don't have it in us to fight the good fight of faith. We need the Lord to fight for us. Amen. We need him to protect us. And we need him to deliver us. Now, Paul, as we see in the book of Acts later on, Paul found these wicked and unreasonable men everywhere he went. Every time he witnessed, they were there. Yes, some believed. Yes, some came back to ask some more questions. But there was always a large number of wicked people that opposed him in the work of the gospel. Is that right? Now, that's a lesson for us to learn. Not only did he have to face the Jews, who hated the mention that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that it was blasphemy that the Son of God, the Messiah, would die on a cross, would die a death of humiliation, that the Lion of Judah would become the lowly Lamb of God. To them, that was blasphemy. And he faced those opposing, wicked, religious Jews everywhere he went, who did not want the gospel. And then he faced the opposing Gentiles, those who heard the gospel and said that that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That God, who created the universe, would become a man. You see, it was a stumbling block to them. They did not believe, the Greeks, for example, in a God who would humble himself as a man, who'd become a servant, a sacrifice for sin, who would be a lowly carpenter born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, and in humility would be crucified. They did not want the gospel. And evil and wicked men opposed the Apostle Paul everywhere he went. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he says these words, "We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." You see, Paul knew how the world looked at him. And he wasn't surprised when people said nasty things at him. He wasn't. Now, sometimes You and I are shocked when someone says that they don't like us. When someone suddenly gets nasty and we're sharing the gospel. Why? Because that reveals to us a measure of unpreparedness. Of unpreparedness. See, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to pray that God will deliver us from wicked and evil men, people that know not the Lord. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean if we pray for God's protection, we won't face persecution. But we'll face it in a different way. We'll face it like the Apostle Paul did and rejoiced in the prison cell. Amen. But God eventually delivered him, did he not? God answered that prayer. It doesn't mean we won't be persecuted, but we will be prepared. We will be prepared for the attacks. We will be trusting that God will deliver us and that God will give us more opportunities and that the gospel will have free course. You see, prayer not only protects us. We need to pray not only for protection, but also for strength in our spiritual weaponry. But also prayer gives us confidence to face a wicked and evil world. Amen? We need to pray. That's the simple point this morning. And time again, as you and I go out to be witnesses for the Lord, we will face persecution. And that's why we need to be careful to do what? To pray. Christian, do you have a passion to be a greater witness this year? I hope you do. I hope that's what our theme has encouraged you to do. To be a greater witness. Well, don't leave off the necessity of prayer. Amen? The necessity of prayer. Lord, protect me from temptation. Lord, help me to be a good testimony. Lord, when I am persecuted, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel. See, prayer prepares us for the spiritual battles ahead. If we don't pray, we'll go out unprepared. And you know what the devil will say? Even before you step out that door, I've got you. I've got you. Your defenses are down and you're going to fall. Sometimes it's through discouragement. Sometimes it's through temptation. Sometimes it's through persecution. He is a wily adversary. He knows which buttons to push. So those of you who are serious about soul winning, we need to be serious about prayer. Amen? Serious about prayer. The necessity of prayer. Now tonight we're going to look at another two aspects of our need of prayer this evening. Let me encourage you to come back. We don't have time to cover every issue and need. But I trust that you've seen this morning that our adversary is a powerful enemy. He is a powerful enemy. Perhaps you are discouraged this morning and haven't been witnessing as you should because you have been deceived by his wiles. You have believed the lie, perhaps, that you're not able to be a witness for the Lord. Perhaps, young people, you've allowed the devil to tempt you to sin, to fall into sin. Yes, he can tempt us. And yes, as we heard on the weekend, young ladies, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But he tempts the flesh to sin. And then we are drawn away by our own lust. So every day, young people, he wants you to fall into temptation. Perhaps it just begins up here and you go, wow, if I'm thinking these thoughts, I can't tell anyone about Jesus Christ. Well, there you go. You're defeated for the day. That's it. Done. Come home. You don't pray before you go out the next day to school. You're defeated for the day. So the devil wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin my testimony. So let us pray. Amen. Those of you going door knocking, we need to pray. We need to pray for God's protection. Not everyone we meet at the door is interested in the gospel. Not everyone we meet will respond nicely. Not everyone we meet, even who don't want the gospel, will be happy just to allow us to leave. Some are wicked and evil men and women. And we need God's protection as we serve the Lord in our day. May He help us to be a people of prayer. Amen.